Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We got the new look ad on the new website. Make sure you're checking that out. Great, great conversations about our democracy, constitutional law, and leadership, and citizens with various county executives. So far this week, Calvin Ball from Howard County. We've had Johnny O from Baltimore County, my former homeland. And of course, we're going to have Barry Glassman next week from Harford County, as well as this week, Stuart Pittman from Anne Arundel County and Mayor Brandon Scott. First time he's been on since he's been mayor. So yes, we'll have Brandon Scott on next week talking about business and COVID and all these things, including insurrection. This guy was a part of the insurrection when he left D.C. to go up there to Long Island, run around with the Islanders. He is a longtime hockey insider. I would call him a Capitals historian. But more than that, he's kind of got West Buffalo, West New York sort of weird roots of where it snows and it comes in off the lake. Ted Stark, he's been my friend for a number of years as we get ready for hockey season. And I'm sort of famously giving up on hockey, Ted. And we'll talk about the hockey and the blimps from 3 months ago and all that stuff. But how are you? How are things on Long Island? You doing all right?
I'm doing all right. You know, we got hockey coming up and the Bills in the second round of the playoffs for 26 years. So I can't complain otherwise.
I know you as like sort of a Caps nerd. Right. So give everybody your storyline of like the little Ted story in a bundle, because I did know you had sort of Western New York roots, but I only sort of know you through the Capitals and like sort of maybe some Hershey Bears-y kind of sort of up and down the corridor with the Caps and their history here, which you've been obsessed with the Capitals for a long time.
Right. Yes. Actually, the Bills connection has a little bit of a Capitals connection as well. Story is, my parents are both from Buffalo. My dad was a season ticket holder with the original Bills of the AFL. So he was
the rock pile.
Exactly. And so, right.
By the way, where the Natural was filmed.
Exactly. They moved down to Annapolis, and then Northern Virginia. And then, my dad loved going to games, and we actually went to some Colts games before they moved out to Indianapolis.
What years were these? Late 70s?
Late 70s, early 80s. But my uncle...
The Capitals stunk. I mean, you moved to Annapolis. They were a hockey team. Nobody went. They weren't very good, you know. Dionne would come in or Richard. You know, somebody would come in that was worth seeing. People would come, right?
Right, yeah. I mean, our first year there was 1980. So we saw them, was it 7 years without making the playoffs? They were quite a little less stinky than they
were. The Bullets were the bomb then, right? They just had Unseld and the Big E, the whole deal.
Yep. And then the Redskins were about to get good. And then, but basically my dad loved live football. So we basically went up once a year to see a game up at Orchard Park. And I kind of stuck with it. And in 1999, I interviewed to do the Caps website. I did not get that job, but the same person who did the hiring was a Buffalo native and said, you know, we got the Bills site open. You want to do that? So I actually worked for the Bills for 2 years in 2000, 2001. So I've had a connection there, even though most of my work's in hockey, my football stuff was all with the Bills.
That's probably how you know Pika from your website work, right?
Exactly. And, you know, it was most of the guys in Buffalo are still there when I was 20 years ago. So.
Well, you know, Pike is one of the true architects of Baltimore Positive. You know, I brought him this idea 7 months ago and, we've really stretched this thing out to, you know, have the governor calling in and having Nancy Pelosi calling in and having every senator call in and, you know, and explain civics, right? I mean, you know, more than anything, you're a journalist at the heart of all of this. And part of this is asking questions, verifying sources, and discerning what is and isn't a fact. And, I feel like all of my training in life, I probably could have been a lawyer, a cop, anybody that would interrogate people. This is what I choose to do, is to say, now, is that true or are you full of manure? You know what I mean? And I guess where we are right now, this is a weird spot for everybody, especially everybody that loves Washington, D.C., to see that, right?
Yeah, no, it was, I mean, that last week obviously was shocking, you know, just with everything going on. And, you know, there's always been an undercurrent of protest, but it's always been, you know, kind of in a accepted boundary of you don't do this, you don't do that.
You'll go to federal prison for the rest of your life.
Exactly.
We don't have Siberia here, but we do have Rikers.
Exactly. And, you know, I think it just got way out of hand last week. And I think, it's as someone who followed, you know, I did a little bit of politics when I was in Washington, and it's really discouraging to see what's going on right now, just overall.
No doubt about it. Ted Starkey here from Newsday and Hockey, and tell me about your Caps books and all that, but I do want to like sort of zone in on the Buffalonian side of all of this and the Buffalo fascination, and it's been a long time since they've been any good, and I had a flight this weekend to go up, Ted, and look, man, you're the guy who flew to Vegas to get there in the third period so you and me and my wife could go down and storm the ice and take pictures. So, I mean, you are that sports guy. You have an interesting perspective on all of this and where Buffalo sits in all of this, because it's sort of old hat here or whatever. Up there, this would be like the biggest event in a generation, right, if they could let people in. And I was supposed to go up and cover the game, and I had a flight and all, and then, you know, I got the protocols back, and like, it's 48 hours to get a test. Like, I'm not going to Buffalo Thursday to watch the game. I mean, and I'm not getting there Saturday and not knowing whether I can get in, because right, you have to take a test in New York, right? So exactly. I'm just like, all right, I'll move the points to Tampa. If there's a Super Bowl and I can go down there and revisit Brandon Stokely and all those awesome things, great. But as a Bills person, anybody that's a Bills person has never had that moment, if unless you know you consider OJ and the Bronco, right?
Exactly. I mean, it's interesting with the, you're talking about the attendance. You know, they're using this as a pilot program for New York State. What they're doing is the league is doing testing, checking everyone 48 hours, and they're allowing 6,700 people in again. They did last week, and they're doing it again this week. I mean, obviously, they're hoping that when this opens up the rest of the state, you know, indoor arenas, stuff like that. But this is kind of the pilot project of Governor Cuomo. I'm dating myself there.
48 hours in Buffalo to sit around in a hotel room and wait for a test to come back, and they charge you $65 and you buy three nights of hotels, and, you know, like, and everything's closed. I mean, no offense to Buffalo. We were playing them this week. It's not that great when everything's open. You know what I mean? The best part of Buffalo is the Peace Bridge.
They go over that now, you know?
Oh, man, my passport's no good. We got insurrection. You know, we'll always have that night in Vegas, Ted, right?
Exactly. Yeah, I know. It'll be interesting, though, you know, because I said they allowed, it's a very small list of people. Obviously, when the fans are there, the Bills games are crazy. You know, it's always been when
they make me want to shout.
When I worked at the Bills, you'd have people showing up Wednesday to tailgate. Like, you know, we were doing media interviews and stuff. There's RVs parked out there. People are just sitting on tables outside.
They don't do that for the Sabres.
No, they don't. Unfortunately, the Sabres are kind of where the Bills were a few years ago. They're trying to get back in the playoffs, but, you know, they're not quite so good.
Ted, I haven't done a lot of hockey around here, and I haven't had Eddie on, and I got to reach to Ed anyway. You know, given what he does for a living, I don't know if he's allowed to come on. But hockey and baseball, horse racing, college sports that aren't Alabama and Ohio State, which is, you know, a joke. Where's this going, bro? I mean, you know, you're a sports guy. I mean, you and your old man would drive up the old Colts games. By the way, you and I might have been at the same couple of Colts games when we were kids, maybe. I mean, I went to all of the Colts games at 76, 7, 8, 9. But yeah, by like 80, my dad was like, yeah, you know, and by 82, 83, he's like, you go see Jim Hart play on your own. You know, I don't need to see Conrad Dobler today. You go. I don't need to see Chris Collinsworth in those new Bengals Zubaz hats. You go. So I went to games 13 years old on my own on a bus right behind G&A Coney Island Hot Dog, by the way, help them. And, so, you know, what games do you remember seeing Colts games as a kid?
I think we saw the Redskins in 81. I believe it was preseason, but we'd go up to Oriole games all the time. You know, we used to love going up there.
Did your dad bring you when Nolan Ryan pitched or something? Like, it was like that?
Yeah, it was fun. I mean, we had a good time. And, you know, he loved live football.
But you weren't an Oriole fan.
I was growing up.
We all were. I got my fan right here, my Resig fan, you know.
There you go. But no, we used to go all the time. I mean, well, you know, that was, we actually saw the first game of Cal's streak.
Wow. Now, you know.
Toronto. Yeah. You know, it was, we saw a lot of good fun games there, you know.
Give me a little hockey thing, dude. Cause I mean, you're like a hockey, you know, guru, insider, you know, you still follow it a lot. Trotz and I exchanged messages last week because the Ravens played the Titans. So there was a little bit of juice for that. Right. Just give me a state of the NHL right now and what they're doing. Cause I literally, Ted, I have not watched any hockey since the minute that I hugged you
Right.
Like literally in the upper reaches next to whatever that contraption is in Vegas. I hugged you. We got in the elevator. We went down on the ice. Cheers were exchanged. Things happened. And I literally took my capital sword and I put it down. And then I was completely insulted by Leonsis's kid. And I said, dude, I might never come in your arena for a concert again. I'm going to do what I can do to never give you buy a beer from you again. So that's where I am on all things Washington sports at this point. But that's just, you know, I'm the guy who was told for 40 years when they won the cup would come to Baltimore. The cup never really came to Baltimore. And for that, it's sort of like democracy. You know, I stand where I stand based on truth. You lie to me, I don't like you very much. So that's where I am. And I just felt like I needed to be on to other things. I need to learn to play the guitar in my life. I've moved my company. I've just decided I've seen enough hockey for now. That doesn't mean that I'm not the guy saying I'm never going to a game again, but I'm becoming more doubtful 2.5 years in. It's starting to slide away the way the NBA slid away from me 15, 20 years ago, where I just stopped paying attention to it every night. And baseball, oh my God. Like I don't know how they're going to get people back in that way once people get unleashed. Like what people are going to want to do with their time when this is over with, and where they're going to want to spend their money, and what they're going and who they're going to want to spend their time with. All of that's about to change in a really big, the paradigm's about to shift in our culture.
Well, it's all, everyone's used to now, you know, in-home entertainment and not going out. So it's going to be interesting, but the NHL is coming back for a 56 game season. The Caps are in a division with 8 different teams. Basically, they play each other 8 times a year. So you'll see a lot of Barry in the Caps this year.
So they're doing everything by location.
Right. I mean, I think it's partially to stoke rivalries, partially so if a team gets shut down due to COVID, it doesn't shut down the entire league. You know, you may have to shut down a division for a couple of weeks, but you're not.
Have they built anything into the schedule for that?
Yeah, it's baseball style this year. A lot of 2-game series. So like the Capitals open in Buffalo. Then they play next night in Buffalo. They go to Pittsburgh. 2 nights later, they play in Pittsburgh again. So, you know, kind of compress it. And if you have to cancel one series.
Dude, you're going to love this because you haven't been on a show in a while. And I've said this 1,000 of my listeners, all 10 of my listeners are tired of me saying it. I've been bringing up Eddie Fehner. When I say Eddie Fehner to you, what do you think?
That's a good question.
Barnstorming softball, the old guy that would bring the heat. Do you remember him?
I do.
I said the baseball season last year was like an Eddie Fehner. It was like barnstorming. It was, you know, this feels like barnstorming to me. We're going to come to town and play a couple of games, and we're going to get on the train, and we're going to go to Topeka, you know? And that doesn't feel like a season to me as much as it feels like an exhibition, the Arizona Spring League. You know what I mean? And I think hockey took that on. Hockey last year was a tournament. You know, that thing they didn't try. That was a tournament, and it was cool. It was fine. It was like the World Cup to me. Right. But it wasn't like what we're used to. Nothing's like what we're used to. But for me to buy in, you know, I have to care. I have to care. You know,
I mean, I think baseball last year was very uneven. I think there were certain players and teams you could tell cared more about winning than others. You know, some were there because basically the union mandated they had to be.
Some of the owners were there because the union, you know, they didn't want to play.
No, exactly. I mean, even hockey, you had some owners who figured, you know, we'd rather not play because we're going to lose a ton of money paying all these guys money when we don't have any fans. You know, obviously the NHL is more dependent on ticket revenue than the other big 3 leagues. But
yeah, where are they getting their money from? Like that's
this is basically a bridge season, as best described it. They're trying to get to next year. I mean, their TV contract's up after this season, so they're trying to get ESPN or Fox to take a bite.
Been a while for that.
Yep. The Seattle Kraken are coming in next year to give them some expansion money, which of course the players don't get, but you know, obviously you want your franchise values to keep their value. So it's basically like we're playing this year to get to next year. You know, if you go to Buffalo, you got to go through Pennsylvania to get to New York. You know, you don't really want to go through Pennsylvania, but you got to go through it. So this is the equivalent of the NHL getting through Pennsylvania and the Pennsylvania Turnpike to get to Buffalo.
How about Seattle losing an NBA team and then lining up and getting all greased up at this hockey team? You know, I guys like you and me are still trying to bring the Whalers back to Hartford and the Nordiques back to Quebec, right? I mean, literally. Hey, we got Winnipeg back, right?
Exactly. Got one of them. But yeah, no, it's Seattle's an interesting sports town because they've, you know, they kind of have an eccentric view of sports. You know, obviously they embrace the Major League Soccer Sounders. You know, they probably no other town in the U.S. supports soccer like Seattle does.
Everything there is Mr. Yuck colored.
Yep. And, you know, with the Kraken coming in, there's actually, you know, there's junior hockey in Seattle and it's not far from Vancouver. You know, people from Seattle will go up. You want to get your hockey fix, you cross the border, it's not that far.
Seattle-Vancouver had no rivalry other than, like, Portland has the soccer rivalry, right, with right. Seattle. Big time. You
know, the only rivalry Seattle had with Vancouver is all the Blue Jay fans who come down to Safeco every year. That was about it, but it'll be interesting. You know, it's a good, wealthy town for hockey, and I think they're looking forward. I mean, they haven't had hockey in the Pacific Northwest since, you know, the 19-teens. The old Seattle Metropolitans won, you know, went to the Stanley Cup final. So it'll be a good little hockey town. But, you know, it's expansion. I would not be surprised the NHL eyes more expansion because, you know, it's a good way to make up your revenue. You don't have to share it with the players. And, you know, you really only have to give a little small slice of your TV money down the road.
So. Who would want a team at this point? Who wants in and who wants out of the NHL?
Well, like we were talking about Quebec, they still have their new arena that they're still waiting to fill.
Well, the Islanders were always the team who was going to move, right? Yep, like they were always first up where you are up in Long Island.
Yep. You know, they finally had to get their arena in Belmont to keep them from moving. Houston, their ownership, you know, the ownership of the building, they didn't want hockey for years, and now that's changed.
We don't play hockey down here in Texas.
But they want a team. They want to sell tickets, so... I would not be surprised. And, you know, there's always talk about a second team in Toronto. You know, amazing New York has three teams. LA has two teams. Toronto's got one, and it's probably its biggest, you know, biggest market overall.
So. I think the Maple Leafs take a little chunk of that. Now, what do you think?
They would take a nice, healthy chunk out of it, believe me.
They probably got money when Ottawa came in. Ted Starkey is here. He is an NHL historian, hockey insider, and Buffalonian by choice, I would say. You're a Bills fan, right?
Yes, I am.
What do you make of all of this?
I think coming into the year, I think there were higher expectations for the team. I mean, I think with Brady leaving, I think fans wanted them to win the AFC East. I think fans wanted to win a playoff game, which they hadn't done since 1995.
Good. You've done enough now. It's time right. to get out.
Well, I thought they were about a year away. I mean, I like what Allen's done. I mean, obviously getting Stephon Diggs and Cole Beasley has really helped Allen develop because, you know, last 2 years he was thrown to nobodies. And it showed. And this year, you know, he's really done well. I think the defense has been a little shaky. You know, last two times the Bills were in the playoffs, it was all on the defense. And the offense was barely functional. But this year, they kind of had, you know, the defense didn't show for the first part. The offense was tremendous. They got a five-game winning streak, got destroyed by Tennessee, got handled by Kansas City. Then they went on a roll. The only loss they've had since they lost Kansas City was the Hail Murray game. And instead of, you know, a lot of teams would fold after losing a game like that, Bills have won every game since. And most of them have been convincingly. This game against Indianapolis this past weekend, I thought they didn't play particularly well, but they did enough to win. And, you know, I think Baltimore will give them some trouble with the defense. I think Tennessee would have been tough for them because I think their biggest gap is the running game. And Henry, first meeting, ran all over the Bills. And so I'm curious to see what Baltimore does. I mean, they're pretty good at pass defense, but their run defense is probably their biggest weak point right now.
Well, you know, 14, 13 months removed, whatever it was, we played up there. You know, defensively, they did well against Lamar, especially at that point when that math thing was greased up. But right, right around then, you know, right, beating up on Seattle, beating up on LA a couple weeks before that. So, you know, that was then, this is now. And to your point, I think the Bills played very well the other day. And, you know, Ravens played okay, certainly defensively more than okay. And the Ravens have looked good for 5 weeks. I mean, there is this thing where the momentum happens. And I think one of the reasons, maybe it's a Saturday night game and both teams are going pretty well right now. They have star quarterbacks. This is a nice little treat. Baltimore and Buffalo in a playoff. I mean, it never happened. And Saturday night.
And there could be snow.
Oh, well, you know, you were at the Snow Globe game, right? You were at the hockey game, right?
Yep. And I was at, I remember one of the games I had covered way back when. It was a game against the Chargers. And the ice was, the field was basically pure ice. They had
I remember that.
Steve Christie tried a field goal, ended up on his you-know-what. So it But, you know, actually, ironically, a snow game probably wouldn't help the Bills because their running game isn't quite what it used to be. You know, it's basically their offense is Josh Allen. You know, they're not going to run much. They run occasionally when it's third and two. They'll run, they'll throw it in a first down occasionally, but they're going to pass. And if you can stop the passing game, that's where you stop the Bills.
He seems to me to have a little slinger in him where, you know, Ravens might go up and get three or four. I mean, if the Ravens are going to win big, it's going to be because of that.
Right.
I do think stopping Lamar this time of year, if it's not snowing or sideways or whatever, right, figuring out a way to tackle him is something that's four quarters. You know what I mean? Like, that doesn't take, unless he gets injured, that doesn't, that's coming at you in the fourth quarter. As is Gus Edwards, you mean that running game and all of that. You know, the Ravens, they have a punch here the next couple of weeks. I think all these teams do. I mean, I said, leave it to the Browns or the Bills to actually win a Super Bowl when they can't have a parade.
Exactly.
That would just be terrible. But that being said, you know, it's been 20 years for us since Tampa. Now, going on a decade since 13 when we did it the first time around. It feels like all of these teams here are capable to me and capable of beating Kansas City, who they take long stretches of time off. They just haven't paid the price for it.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the difference between the AFC and the NFC right now, you can make an argument for any of the AFC teams to win the Super Bowl. I think the NFC may be the Packers. That's about it. I mean, I think Baltimore's really, really tough. I mean, I think, obviously, I think Bills fans are rooting for Pittsburgh to win the other night because they wanted to get Pittsburgh in there because of the way that Big Ben has just been kind of collapsing. You know, Baltimore wasn't their first choice, believe me. But I think, you know, the Bills, as I said, my personal feelings, I think they're a year ahead of schedule. I think they need a little bit of seasoning, and their defense has been a little bit inconsistent.
They are favored.
They are, but you know, that's the home field. And you know, the difference between 6,700 fans and 71,000 fans, it's also a big deal. You know, you saw home teams kind of struggle this weekend. You know, you didn't have the normal loud crowd noise disrupting an offense like you normally would.
But we said that when Kansas City came in here, Mahomes is operating in an empty stadium and operating. We're like, didn't work that way for Lamar the last couple of years. You know what I mean? It certainly won't be that way next week if we get there. I'll say this, man, from the Buffalo-Baltimore perspective, whoever wins the game will be rooting really, really hard for the Browns on Sunday for the first time ever.
Exactly. I mean, it's you think about it, it's, you know, the Bills haven't been in the AFC title game since 93. So, you know, and basically it's, you know, it's kind of like they're just people up there are enjoying the ride. You know, we'd like to see the team do well, but you know, I think we know that with Josh, it's not like a team that you think this is a one-shot wonder. They're going to go back to being mediocre next year. I think they got a lot of good young players, and it'll be nice when fans can get in the building again because, you know, it is one of the better places to watch a game just from a crowd perspective.
Yeah, I really wanted to launch myself off of a pickup truck kegger onto a table. I wanted to do that. Ted, take care of yourself. Stay safe up there. And if I get Trotsy on the phone or something, I'll bring in. You can pepper him. You know, we'll have a Trots forum. You, me, and Ed, and we'll get after him. But I don't know when that's going to happen. When does hockey start?
The league starts tomorrow. The Islanders and Capitals start on Thursday. Caps are actually in Buffalo, so it's a big Starkey weekend up there.
Nice. Well, you know, you would be there. There's no doubt about that. But stay safe up on Long Island. And at some point, maybe Billy Joel will play the garden again, and I'll get back up to New York and get some proper pastries and some European food. How about that?
Next time you get up here, we definitely got to get together.
Ted Stark, he's my man. You can go find him out on the Twitter thing as well as at Newsday, talking all things hockey, putting up interesting pictures of coaches in various forms of thinker poses. We are WNST.net, AM 1570 Towson, Baltimore, getting you ready for Bills, Ravens, and a Festivus for the rest of us here at Baltimore Positive.